Welcome to lesson number 6, make it safe. Dean Bakari here, and in this lesson, we're going to be talking about how to make it safe to talk about almost anything. So as you learned in our last lesson, if people feel threatened during a conversation, they're going to resort to either silent or violent reactions. When that happens, conversation fails. So the question is, how do we ensure that the atmosphere of a conversation remains safe? First things first, when other people move to silence or violence, you need to step out of the conversation and make it safe. Right? Once safety is restored, that's when you want to go back and continue the dialogue. The key to doing this is to step out of the content of the conversation, not to get stuck on what the other person or what the other people are saying. Right? So after we do that, we want to start laying the foundation of the conversation on 2 key things. Number 1, mutual purpose. And number 2, mutual respect. Let's break these down. Mutual purpose. So finding mutual purpose is crucial. It's absolutely critical because it's what binds two or more people together in a conversation. Right? If people genuinely feel that they've got a mutual purpose, right? Shared goals, shared ambitions, then they're going to try to look past their other differences and communicate with each other to achieve that purpose. To put it more simply, everybody in the conversation needs to feel like they're contributing to any of the decisions that get made as a result of the conversation. Right? People need to feel like they've got some skin in the game, like they're contributing, like they're playing a role in this whole thing. And then number 2 is mutual respect. Right? Mutual respect is just as important as mutual purpose. Respect is absolutely critical for any successful conversation. Right? If your conversation partners feel like you don't respect them, you'll either get a silent reaction, right? They're going to withdraw, they're going to stop contributing, they're not going to communicate as much, or they'll get sarcastic, right? Or you're going to get a violent reaction where they'll start shouting or they'll get angry, they'll start exhibiting controlling behavior. So the bottom line is, if you want people to be invested, make sure they feel respected. Even when you're about to criticize an employee, for instance, you can do this without disrespecting them or making them feel disrespected. You can do it in a respectful way. And a good way to do this is by using the technique of alternating, right, between praise and criticism. For example, let's say you want Jimmy to be more punctual. Here's how a conversation like that might go. You say to Jimmy, "Hey, Jimmy, I appreciate all your hard work on XYZ project." Jimmy responds, "Thank you so much. I appreciate it." You say, "Well, you know, if there were just one area that I'd like to see you improve upon, it would be your punctuality. You think you could work on ensuring that you're at our project meetings on time from now on? It really helped maintain the high quality work that you've been known for as you continue to take on new projects in the future." Jimmy says, "Absolutely, boss. I'm really sorry. I apologize for showing up late, and I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen again. I'll be on time every time moving forward." You say, "Thank you, Jimmy. And hey, by the way, keep up the quality work. It's really showing." Right? So if you approach it like that, right, you start out positive, place the area of improvement in the middle, and then finish off strong with another positive statement, boom, you're going to get them on your side. And you'll get the compliance that you're looking for, as long as, of course, the conversation is genuine. So both personally and professionally, your conversations are going to be more positive, and you'll increase your chances of achieving win-win solutions if you make an effort toward the common goals and interests of the people that are involved. You want to try to define a mutual purpose, and once this mutual purpose is clear, right, shared goals, those who are part of the conversation are going to strive towards that as well. It's about getting everybody on the same page. It's about being committed to a single mission or vision or a set of goals, a mutual purpose. For example, let's say you were just offered a once-in-a-lifetime promotion at work, right? The kind of opportunity that could really skyrocket your career, take it to the next level. But the downside here is that you and your family are going to have to move. You're going to have to move to another state. and this puts you at odds with your spouse or partner. Now, initially, you and your partner seemingly have completely different goals, right? You want the promotion while she or he doesn't want to move. And at this point, it's important to work on finding a more general goal that's in both your interest as well as your partner's. For instance, define the long-term needs of the family, right? And see if your promotion aligns with those needs, right? Talk it out. Work on coming up with something together. Work on creating a shared goal, a shared purpose. And no matter what the outcome of your discussion, you're both going to be more likely to sincerely consider the available options. And in the end, maybe your spouse or partner will be persuaded to let you take that promotion and move. Or maybe after the conversation, you might decide that finding a better opportunity in the same area is a better option. Either way, it'll be a stronger decision because both you and your partner were involved in making it. Look, when people don't feel safe, it's usually because they either believe you don't respect them or they believe you don't share the same goals, that is, mutual purpose. And the first step towards restoring safety is to address these concerns directly, head on. For example, let's say you're in disagreement with a colleague about how to allocate resources for a project, right? Things get tense and you notice that your colleague, coworker is getting defensive, right? What can you do to prevent the conversation from spiraling out of control? Well, you'd want to reestablish safety by reminding them that you both want the same thing, right? You both have a mutual purpose here, which is to finish the project successfully. And then immediately thereafter, you want to follow up with expressing respect for whatever concerns they may have brought up, right? Here's what this might sound like in action. So you might say, hey, I want to make sure that we're on the same page because I know that we both care about making this project a success. And I respect your opinions as well. And I'm interested in finding a solution that works for both of us here. Right? Saying something like this can diffuse the tension almost immediately. Next up, let's talk about spotting safety risks by looking for silence and violence. Right? One of the most useful skills you can develop with regard to communication, crucial conversations, is learning to recognize when safety has been compromised or violated. Right? As you know by now, people tend to react in one of two ways when they feel unsafe, silence or violence. And I keep on repeating this because it's so crucial to crucial conversations. Silence again, they'll shut down. They'll avoid the conversation. With violence, they'll get aggressive. They'll try to control. So let me give you an example from my own life. Right? I was in a meeting recently with my team when I noticed that one of our most valuable employees, Shafi is his name, suddenly stopped contributing after a somewhat tense moment in our meeting, in our discussion. Now, initially, I didn't catch it. Right? I didn't realize what was happening. But after the meeting, I found out that he felt like the group, right, his teammates, didn't really value his input. So he started to withdraw from the conversation and shut down a bit, moving into silence. On the other hand, there are moments when people just kind of feel the need to control or overpower the conversation when safety is compromised. And this is when they turn to violence, right? I've been in conversations when somebody starts talking over everybody else, right? They raise their voice, they force their opinions. These are classic signs of violence. So you want to learn how to spot silence. You want to learn how to spot violence. The important thing to remember again is that both responses, both silence and violence, come from a lack of safety when people don't feel safe in a conversation. So what else can you do to save the conversation, to make people feel safe? Two crucial key skills to make it safe for people in conversations. Number one is to apologize whenever appropriate. It sounds simple, but if you realize that something you've said or done resulted in somebody feeling disrespected or unheard, well, you can move the conversation back to safety with a genuine apology. For instance, if you're in the middle of a conversation, you realize you've just interrupted someone or mistakenly dismissed their point, a quick apology with eye contact can really go a long way. Right? You might say, "So sorry, Rob. I'm really, really sorry about that. I didn't mean to cut you off. I value your opinion. I want you to know that I want to hear what you've got to say. So please, the floor is yours. The next skill to master to make things safe is to use contrasting to fix misunderstandings. Right? Sometimes people feel disrespected during crucial conversations, even when we haven't said or done anything disrespectful. Right? Has that ever happened to you? Right? You're just like, wait, what did I say that upset you so much? Right? Why are you so upset? Right? If you haven't done anything wrong, but the other person still doesn't feel safe, then your next best tool is a skill called contrasting. So contrasting is a powerful way to clarify your intentions. And it involves explaining things in a way where you mention what you don't mean and then what you do mean. Again, it involves explaining what you don't mean and then what you do mean. For example, let's say you're giving feedback to a team member and you notice that they're getting defensive. Right? In this scenario, it'd be smart to use contrasting by saying something like, "Hey, Steve, I don't want you to think that I'm questioning your ability to do this job or anything like that. What I do want is to have an open discussion here about how we can handle deadlines better moving forward. Again, Steve, I don't want you to think that I'm questioning your ability to do the job here. I'm not questioning your abilities. I'm not questioning your skills. But what I do want to do here is have an open discussion about how we can handle deadlines better moving forward." This clears up any misunderstandings and it helps to restore that sense of safety that we all need. Next up, crib to get to mutual purpose. What does that mean? So if people feel like you don't share the same goals, they're not going to engage fully in the conversation. And this is where the crib method comes in handy. You want to use it to get back to mutual purpose. Crib stands for commit, recognize, invent, and brainstorm. So for example, imagine you're in a conversation with a business partner of yours about a new direction that you guys are thinking about taking for your company. You suggest focusing on a specific market segment, but your partner seems resistant, starts pulling away. Instead of pushing for your strategy, start instead by establishing safety, by cribbing your way back to mutual purpose. Right? This might sound like, so if you commit to seeking mutual purpose, you commit to staying in the conversation until you come up with something that works for everybody. So you might start off by saying something like, "Hey, I think we might be seeing this differently, but I want to make sure that we're both aligned on what's best for the company. Can we work together to figure that out?" Then you move to recognizing the purpose behind the strategy. Right? You want to ask people why they want what they want, right? Why they want what they're pushing for. Right? Separate what they want with the purpose that it serves, right? You might say, to acknowledge their underlying concerns, you might say something like, "Hey, it sounds like you're worried that focusing on this market segment could limit our growth opportunities. And I get that. I understand that." Then you move into invent a mutual purpose, right? If you've clarified everyone's purposes, but it still feels like you haven't gotten to safety, try to invent a more inspiring purpose than the one that's keeping you in conflict, right? Find a higher level purpose that you can both agree on. And you might do that by saying something like, "Hey, at the end of the day, we both want what's best for the company, right? Long-term success, right?" Next, brainstorm new strategies, right? Look for a solution that serves everybody. So now that you've identified a shared purpose, you can brainstorm together. Right, what if we explore some other markets that might help us grow while we're still considering this segment? Boom. You figured out a solution that works for everybody. So your actionable insights for this lesson are as follows. First and foremost, making it safe is about recognizing when a conversation goes off track and knowing how to steer it back to a healthy dialogue by addressing people's need for safety and respect. Right. When you get this right, when you foster safety, you open the door to honest dialogue and better outcomes in your crucial conversations. So keep these actionable ideas in mind to make safety the standard in every dialogue. Number one, notice when safety is at risk. Right? Look for signs of silence, right? People withdrawing, shutting down, disengaging, or violence, people becoming aggressive, trying to dominate. And when you see the signs, stop and reestablish safety. Number two, use contrasting to clarify your intentions. When someone misinterprets your words, use contrasting to explain what you don't mean and what you do mean to avoid further misunderstandings. Number three, apologize whenever necessary. A genuine apology can restore safety and it can keep the conversation moving forward. And finally, number four, focus on mutual purpose. Constantly remind people that you're working towards the same goal. If they feel like you're on their side, they'll be more likely to engage and contribute to a productive dialogue.